Good morning. I'd like to thank everybody for being here. Harvey didn't do any introductions this morning, but serves a big mazel tov on the mazel tov of his wedding of his youngest son, Zinka. Yizochta bel debayis nemen v'yisrael. Today's shiur is sponsored Leila Nishmas, Mr. Gittleson's father, whose yahrzeit is today, Yitzchak ben Rafal HaKohen. Shiur should be Leila Nishmas. So today's shiur, in Kor V'Chom B'Halacha, is entitled Hot and Cold, Extreme Weather Conditions. People ask me, how do I come up with these topics for a share? We know some of them, people give suggestions, ideas for a share. I guess this one, I lived through. I lived to tell the tale, or to tell the share. Last Sunday, I was in frigid Toronto. The joke at the wedding was that the Baal Simcha got up and said, "Welcome to Winnipeg." Seems even Torontoans, make fun of, Winnipeg. That's a really cold place. But Toronto was cold enough for me. How cold was it? The high, I believe, was like 3 degrees that day. And it went down to negative 20. That was quite cold.
With the exchange rate.
Forget about the exchange rate.
They didn't break the glass. They broke the
I was there with Rabbi Ephraim Shapiro, amongst others. I remember Rabbi Shapiro, he grew up most of his life here in Miami. Others who fit that mold too. And he was so cold. He kept on asking every single person he met, "Do you really live here?" He couldn't get over it, how cold it was. On our flight back, the airport in Toronto couldn't handle it. We were delayed because all the ground equipment froze up. They couldn't get one of those trucks to push back on the plane because it froze. And they kept on switching different planes' gates because they had to maneuver things. There was only X amount of equipment that was actually working. Actually, I never saw a plane take off as quickly. They had to de-ice the plane, which is a fascinating thing to watch. But right after they de-iced it, the plane took off within a matter of seconds. Because you have to, because otherwise, the de-icing equipment would work. So everything and anything, I definitely experience extreme cold. Baruch Hashem, I still have a good amount of New York in me. And I was able to take it a little bit better than others. But what I'd like to talk about in today's share are four issues. Issue number one, we're talking about cold conditions. But we also know we shouldn't sit too pretty over here in Florida. It can also get quite hot. How does Halacha view these two scenarios? When it's very cold versus it's very hot. Are there similarities in halacha, the way we treat these extreme conditions? Are there differences in halacha between the cold and the heat? Thirdly, I'd like to touch upon some of the halachas in terms of Hilchos Shabbos. What could one do on Shabbos if in this condition you weren't fully prepared and it was colder or hotter than expected? What is one allowed to do on Shabbos to make the situation better? And fourthly, maybe this fits for a theme of Shavuot Brachos too, but fourthly, I'd like to talk about Shalom Bayis. Outside maybe of the toilet seat and the cap for the toothpaste, probably the biggest common thing that brings fights between couples is the temperature in the home. Some like it hot, some like it cold, everything in between. So what do you do in such a scenario? What does halacha say? Obviously, you should do whatever you can to avoid a fight. But are there halachic guidelines of what to do when there's a dispute about the weather conditions? To be honest, as a Rebbe, I've gotten guys in the dorm come over to me. This guy wants the window open. This one wants it closed. And the guys can get into big fights about these things. So what is the basic halachic background for such scenarios? Those are the issues I'd like to touch upon in today's share. Now, the first place that I thought of researching was Hilchos Sukkah. And there's probably a big difference in many years whether you're celebrating Sukkot in Chicago or in Miami. You could have totally different, you know, we could go back to Canada too. But let's go through the halacha. The halacha in the middle of your page, Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Chaim, Siman Tov Reish Mem, Mitzayer Pater Min HaSukkah. Someone who's distressed, who's pained by his sukkah experience, is exempt. Very interesting halacha. Mitzayer Pater Min HaSukkah. The halacha is, if it's too painful to be sitting outside in your sukkah, one is exempt. Who, v'lo mishamshim, if he has servants who are not as ill affected by the scenario, it only applies to him, not to his servants. They add in parentheses, abolayla rishona einam afil mitzara chayv la'achol sham. There's a difference between the first night of sukkahs and the rest of sukkahs. First night, one would be chayiv even in such a scenario. Definitely going to some deos and gets into all the complicated halachas of waiting up on the first night if it's raining or the such. Ezel mitzayer, what is considered someone who is in pain? Zeshin yachal lishon basukkah ne'arach. You can't sleep in the sukkah because of the wind. Omnei zvuvim bar poshim, or because of flies, insects, k'diyot b'hem. Or because of bad odor, bad smell. All these are reasons that one could exempt himself from sitting in a sukkah. Now, when we say the wind, it doesn't just mean the windy city of Chicago. It doesn't just mean the windy city of Chicago. The Bir Halach over there, the Chafetz Chaim writes, even just from the cold, doesn't have to be a wind, the cold weather, you're also exempt. And then he gets into discussion. What about if I could protect myself from the cold? He says, even if you have blankets and pillows, gloves, whatever you need to shield yourself from the cold weather, gam ken yesh lahakel. One could be lenient and one does not have to sleep in a sukkah. The ein kol adam yachol tzrach b'chol layla avim sham v'machol finosam. The reason is, it's quite hard to go back and forth every day to bring in and out all your pillows and blankets. And that's why one would be exempt. The Chafetz Chaim does write, but if you have a nice, safe place to store them inside your sukkah, then one wouldn't be advised to do that. Now let me read one more step, because this is important. Skipping a couple lines. Da'askamas rova poskin, the mitzayer pater af me'achila. Most poskim hold that mitzayer, someone who's distressed, is not only exempt from a sukkah, from sleeping in a sukkah, he would also be exempt from eating in a sukkah. K'mol shekos amlagin Avram b'shem beis Yosef. Yalkin nira diyesh li zahir bizman akor. Person has to be very careful when it's cold. She lovish begadim chamim. He should be wearing warm clothing when he's sitting in the sukkah. Kishi yisol b'sukkah. Kadesh lo yeh mitzar machmas akor v'yeh shash brachol v'atala. He shouldn't be pain from the sukkah to the degree if you're sitting in the sukkah when really halakhically you're exempt. If you make a bracha on the sukkah, that'll be a bracha of atal, that'll be a bracha in vain. Because you're really supposed to be exempt. And you're insisting on sitting in here. That could be a bracha of atal. So the Chafetz Chaim is recommending people, if you're not sure about it, take the sweater into the sukkah. You want to be as comfortable as possible. Because if you're too much mitzayer, then really it could be your pata from the sukkah, and your bracha could be a bracha of atal. Now all that the Shulchan Aruch and the Chafetz Chaim write about over here is cold weather. There's no mention over here, at least in the simple Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah, of anything about warm weather. So I get it. In Chicago, in Montreal, if you're celebrating sukkahs, so in some places, I think in Canada, in a lot of places, people try to make their sukkahs in their house. They'll have a cutout in their roof, a skylight, which they could open up, put schach there, and they have sukkahs in the middle of their dining room. Wonderful thing, that works. But those who don't, I don't think that's so in Chicago, people brave the cold and try to sit on the sukkah. But it's important that a person is fully clothed. If you're sitting out there shivering, seemingly that's already a level of mitzayer, which you're potter from the sukkah, which you really would have adverse issues, you could be making a bracha v'atal, a bracha in vain. So one has to be prepared when you go out to a sukkah to be dress appropriately. Now here in Florida, here in Miami, many years, it could be the opposite. It could be so hot in sukkahs. So what about that? Is that also an exemption? The Shulchan Aruch Mishnah Berurah don't talk about it, but the later poskim do. And the later poskim, for the most part, equate the two scenarios. Just like one has to be careful, the temperature in the sukkah shouldn't be too cold, of course, wadin, we'll see. One also has to be careful about the temperature in the sukkah not being too hot. And seemingly, if there is some scenario of where it's extreme heat, and you're sweating away, and you never ever would be in such, sit yourself out there. So one really should think, what could I do to make my sukkah experience better? And that's where, in more modern times here in Florida, many people have gone on to making their sukkah an AC sukkah. I figured now is a good time to talk about it, because they're not in the heat, excuse the pun, of sukkah season. And, you know, I've heard around the neighborhood people have very strong feelings one way or the other. If you lived here in Florida for many years and you didn't have an AC sukkah, you know, you're going to be quite reluctant to switch over. Vice versa, people who more recently came here, they might be more quick to go to AC. Full disclosure, I have a regular sukkah, I don't have AC. So I'm not part of the latter as of yet. I'm facing pressure, 5 years. But
the biggest one is when it come down from north, they have fiberglass walls in the sukkah,
yeah,
and set it up the first year.
Right, that's true. People who don't realize the temperature over here, you can't just bring your New York sukkah and put it up over here. There's a reason why you see lots of lattice here. But most of the modern poskim, if you look, I have on top of the page from Dirshu, they bring from the Moed Muzmanim of Sternbach. They bring from Nissen Karelitz, he's from Fush Lema, from B'nai Brak, that they both equally talk about the hot weather, just like the cold weather. And the same basic halacha. Again, if it's too extreme of a condition, then one would, and one would have to take precautions that he's comfortable. Otherwise, potentially, there's a bracha levatala. Now, again, what exactly is too hot and what's too cold? So it's very hard to give a formula for such a thing. Fact, I found the Aruch HaShulchan. This is in Aruch Chaim, Siman Reish Ayin Vav, writes Beferish. There he's talking in terms of Hilchos Shabbos, but I assume who had in over here, it's the same. That it's relative to the person. It's hard to put a finger. You know, I saw one post that wants to talk about, oh, too cold means things are freezing up. And, you know, everything is relative. Different people could take different things. Somebody told me a very interesting shiloh that happened to them. They come from Chicago, and they're used to sitting out in the sukkah for many years in the cold, you know, just a sweater, and they're able to handle it. This person happened to live here in Florida for a few years. I went back home afterwards to Chicago for Sukkot. And all of a sudden, he just couldn't handle it. It was very tough. And he asked the Posek, and Posek said, if you really can't handle it, seemingly, yeah, this is too tough for you. He said, but I was able to handle it years ago. But as many people know, body temperatures change based on circumstances, based on age. There are many factors that changes a person's sensitivity to weather conditions. And even if years ago you were able to handle this, it doesn't mean now you could. And you always have to recalibrate and remeasure what a person can handle. We're talking now at least in Hilchos Sukkah, when you're sitting out there in a sukkah, what you can handle. And therefore take appropriate measures to make yourself as comfortable as possible when you're sitting in your sukkah. Yes? Correct. It's all relative, seemingly, to the person. What could the person handle? What's, you know, within normative expectability of this person? So that's one area we find that there's a similarity. I didn't put it in your sheets, but there's a Gemara in Ksubas. We touched upon it in the earlier share this year, which the Gemara says, Hakol bidei shamayim, chutz mitzinim upachem. Everything is in the hands of heaven, except for protecting against cold and heat. So the Gemara itself equates those two things. Both of those are things we have to shield ourselves from. We have to protect ourselves, obviously, in different ways. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily follow. You know, just because, let's say, someone's in Chicago and the way to protect himself is putting on warmer clothing, and also might be putting in heaters into the sukkah. Here in Florida, a similar thing would be an air conditioner. Those are different machines. Heaters, for the most part, again, depending on how big a system and different things, are much cheaper than air conditioners. And that's a factor too. And it might be easier to utilize, protect yourself sometimes from the cold than from the heat. And all these things doesn't mean they're totally equal. Just because you might have to take a heater in doesn't mean necessarily you would take an air conditioner in. So it's all relative to people's situations, many different things. But the general concept you do find, at least in Hilchos Sukkah, and Hu Adin, this Gemara in Ksubas, is there is an equation, there is a similarity between what we could do to protect ourselves from the heat and from the cold. That being said, I believe I found an area in Halacha which there are differences, perhaps, between the heat and the cold. And for that, I want to go to Hilchos Shabbos. Now, I spent a lot of time researching all these things. This Mar Malkum I only fully saw on Shabbos, so it didn't make your sheets. But the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Reish Ayin Vav in Hilchos Shabbos says the following. It's Reish Ayin Vav Sif Hei. Ba'artzos Karos, in the cold lands, Motolei Yudi Lasos Medur B'Shvil Aktanim. A a non-Jew could be asked to make a fire for young kids. The assumption in halacha is young kids can't really take care of themselves, and also more than that, their immune system is not as strong as older people. Regular aged people, regular healthy condition. And one could be more lenient on Hilchos Shabbos for taking care of the health of ketanim, of young kids. So one will be allowed to ask a non-Jew to make a fire on a cold day. Again, this is providing that you didn't have a chance to do it beforehand. You could do it for ketanim on Shabbos, mutarma gdolim mischamim bo, and then the adults could get warm by it too. Afil b'shvil hagdolim mutar imar kor gadol. If it's extremely cold, this would be permitted even for adults. Shakol cholim etzar hakor. Shulchan Aruch quotes an idea in Chazal. Everyone is considered sick when it comes to cold weather. Cold weather can make a person sick. Not the same as the heat. So there is a major difference in halacha between cold weather and hot weather. When it comes to cold weather, we will extend ourselves more than normal in halacha because, I see people getting cold already, because shakol cholim etzar hakor, everyone could get sick, everyone's considered holy when it comes to cold weather. Now, someone just asked me this kasha right before share. Halachically, there is some issues involved wearing gloves on Shabbos. Part of the idea is afraid a person wears gloves, they might come to take them off and might come to carry them in a place that doesn't have an Erev. And thus, there is a notion in halacha for one not to wear gloves. However, you have to know the scenarios, you have to know the situations. If it's extremely cold, there is definitely room to be makel to wear gloves, even if you're someone who is normally machmer to wear gloves. And my father-in-law is fond to tell of a story of one of his friends who was scrupulous in this halacha not to wear gloves on Shabbos. And they were away in a cold place. This might have been Ottawa, but I'll get to my Ottawa story later. Remind me if not. And this young future Talmud Chacham refused to wear gloves on Shabbos. He's walking down the street, and it was below zero, absolutely freezing. So he kept his hands in his pockets to shield himself from the cold. But then his ears were freezing. So he took his hands out of his pockets and covered his ears. But then his hands were freezing. He stuffed them back in his pockets. And basically, this guy walked like blocks and blocks doing this. Guess what happened? He got frostbitten on his ears and his hands. Somehow, the story got told over to the Rosh Yeshiva, and the Rosh Yeshiva strongly told him, you should have been wearing gloves. And earmuffs, for that matter. But yeah, extreme conditions, people have to be careful. Hakol choli etzar hakor. And even areas where there might be in relatively normal situations, there's perhaps room to be machmer and one should maybe not wear gloves, but okay. But where it's extremely cold, you have to protect yourself. Yes? Right. We're talking specifically in a case where there's no Erev, and therefore this issue would come about. Yes? Now, what happens in a more basic case? It ended up getting much colder than expected, and the heat in Shul is not on. What should one do? The heat in Shul is not on. Could one ask a guy, a Gentile, to turn on the heat? So Rav Moshe Feinstein deals with this Shiloh. And Rav Moshe permits it in two scenarios. Scenario number one, if it's cold to the degree that people are leaving shul, people are not going to go and daven with a minyan. Now, if there is another shul, right, over here, you know, there'll be a problem. AC went on one shul, everyone just walk a few minutes, you know, walk a minute on 10th and you find another shul. But let's assume that there are no other options. So Rav Moshe says they're going to leave shul and they're not going to daven with a minyan. So for that scenario, Moshe permits it. Tzarach Tzibur, for a minyan, Rav Moshe would allow telling an Eino Yehudi, telling a Gentile, to turn on the heat. Additionally, Rav Moshe gives a heter in a case of where Chas V'Shalom people are going to get sick. It's very cold, people are very susceptible, and people could get sick. So again, for this idea, a kol holy eats a hakor, Rav Moshe would say one would be allowed to tell a Gentile to turn on the heat and therefore to warm up the shul. Now, it's interesting. What happens in Florida if we have such a case? You say to me, what are we talking about? How cold could it be? But you could have artificial cold. Let's say something got wrong with the AC and the AC is absolutely freezing. We could be living in Chicago right here in Miami. If the AC was set way too high and it's blowing on people, it's very cold. Rav Moshe deals with that case too. He says the same halacha. When we talk about cold, cold doesn't just mean it's 20 degrees outside. Cold is also a scenario. You could have the AC making it extremely cold, especially where it's blowing on people. That's a big deal. Blowing on people, you know, hitting a person, that has a big effect. It's dangerous. So AC blowing on people, where Moshe says, same thing. You don't want to also be allowed for these two conditions. Number one, if people are leaving shul because of this. Or number two, if someone could get sick for this, Rav Moshe said it's permitted. Now it's interesting, Rav Moshe has been talking about a shul. At the end of his piece, he writes, in one's home, it's easier to be more lenient in a home than a shul. Why? Excellent. When it comes to shul, technically, you could daven in a different shul. Or you know what? If it's really bad, you can even go home. You just missed out on davening with the tzibur, but you can still daven. But as opposed to in your house, if your house is extremely cold, where are you going to go? Now, I guess, you know, sometimes you have good neighbors. Good neighbors take a person in. Might be different, but people obviously are more comfortable in their home, and a lot of times it's not so simple. No Shabbos just to move to a neighbor a few blocks away. Not simple. So in one's home, there's obviously even easier, Moshe says, to be makel. Obviously to get, not you can't turn on yourself, but to get a Gentile to do that, it would be permitted. Yes?
What if one person who's cold in the shul and wants the air conditioning turned hotter?
So that's going to be part in the next part.
Cause everyone else to be...
Right. When we get into disputes about the temperature, that's coming up. Stay tuned. Okay. Cold, hard cash. That's what you're saying. It matters what happens. Okay. Now, this is all in terms of the cold. What about the reverse scenario? It's not too cold, but it's too hot in shul. Turning on the AC. Now, you have to know, Rav Moshe, you know, what commonly is done, this is just an aside, but what's commonly done in most shuls is not the AC running all the time. They have some type of clock with a sometimes it could be a straight thermostat. Okay, that's different. But other places, let's say you know for sure there's a strong amount of there's a big window of time when no one's in shul. So to save money, people put it on a timer. Just for the record, Ramosha did not give a heter to putting any ACs on timers. It's very interesting. The world in general is makel, just like we put lights on timers, we put ACs on timers too.
You say it was prohibited.
But the Maaser Moshe only gives that heter only for lights, not for ACs. Moshe, no. ACs he doesn't treat the same as lights. In fact, I remember in Shiva Tiferes Yisrael, Chavetz Chaim in Brooklyn, when I was previously a Rebbe, the person, the building manager, was a Talmud of Moshe. And he mamash pasul like Ramosha, everything he said. And this is one of the chumras. Many people take a lot of Ramosha's kulas, but people don't necessarily take his chumras. This Talmud of his was makdum gamar. He would not turn on an AC, you know, on a timer, even if it wasn't benefiting him, it was benefiting the yeshiva. So I remember I used to help him turn on the AC sometimes because his halachic perspective was not to put it on. But Rav Moshe does not give a heter in the similar type scenario for ACs. Very hot, could just one go into the Gentile and do that? Not so simple. Well, you just did it for the heat. Why don't you do it for the cold? Big difference. By the cold, we say, Hakol Cholim Eitzo Hakor. Everyone potentially could get sick when it comes to cold weather. By heat, it's not the same. Okay, there are some scenarios, some things. But in general, what makes what the Chazal is saying, what makes a person sick is being exposed to cold. Again, he catches a cold. Right? In up the eastern coast, you have this all the time. People run outside without being fully clothed. They don't have a good coat on. They don't have a scarf, and they catch a cold. My mother used to scream at me. As a kid, I used to hate putting on a cap, a ski cap, or anything. No, but you lose most of your body heat through your head. It didn't look cool. I wasn't interested in wearing a cap. But, you got to be careful. You definitely catch a cold. That's probably part of it, right? But you can definitely catch a cold through cold temperatures. Let's be careful of that. Heat is not the same. However, there are poskim amongst them, the Minchas Yitzchak.
The other svara would still apply with the
Yeah.
Miami. Let's say people are packing out because the AC is not working and it's...
Correct. Seemingly...
85 degrees of show that I walked
You're right.
Even he would admit that.
Correct. If it's a scenario where it's really a tzarich rabim and everyone's leaving, that svara still might apply. But the choli svara, on that, Rav Moshe writes beferish this in a different piece in Yerodeah, but he doesn't buy in because cold and hot are not the same.
Obviously, never been to Miami.
However, there are some that are makel amongst the Minchas Yitzchak. And one of the basis is for his heter is a Gemara Yerushalmi in Sanhedrin. Listen to the language of this Gemara. Fascinating, the Gemara. This actually involves a little antidote between, I think, Antoninus and one of the Amorayim, where he writes, Yoser Yeshla Spalel Lihinotzel Michol Measher Mikor. One should more quickly, or more should one daven, to be saved from heat than from cold. If anything, this chazal, this Gemara in Yerushalmi is mashma, the heat is worse than the cold. If we're willing to give a heter in the cold, this Yerushalmi seemingly says should be even more so by the heat. And the Minchas Yisrael quotes this Yerushalmi when he states, if there's a problem with the AC, 100% just like with the cold, you could do it. He argues with Moshe based on the Yerushalmi. Now, really, if you think about it, right, it sounds like these two things are in stira. On the one hand, you have the Chazal, Hakol Choli Eitzah Hakor, which seems to mean that cold weather is worse than hot weather. You get sick, you catch a cold. And that's where Moshe made a distinction between the cold and the heat. Me'idat Yisa, this Yerushalmi, that the Menachas Yitzchak is quoting, seemingly proves the opposite. You know what? Before you daven, more you should daven to be safe from the heat than from the cold. That implies the condition of extreme heat is worse. So if anything, in these halachas we're finding, not only are there differences between cold and heat, seemingly there's a stira, there's a contradiction. What's worse? Extreme cold or extreme heat? Yes?
Focus on the result or on the process. For example, if you get AC or heating settings, you don't have any, right?
Okay.
If you're cold, you could put on more coats and more blankets. But if you're hot, there's only so much you can take off, and after that, there's nothing else you can do.
Interesting, Svara.
That's true.
That's true with clothing. Right? That may not be as true in terms of the environment. You're right. To shield yourself from the cold, you can put on more layers. Right? There's only so much you can take off. Know that. Right? So, but yeah, but we know nowadays with heaters, with air conditioners, you could protect both.
We really haven't had air conditioning since it's from World War II.
Yeah.
That's when we started seeing air conditioning. Before that, in the summertime, it's 100 degrees in New York City. There's nothing you could do about it.
I just took my mother-in-law to Fort Lauderdale Airport this morning. Obviously, before, quite busy before share. And my mother-in-law was telling me, you know, years ago when she lived here in Florida, like, she barely ever flew out of this airport. Like, airport was tiny. No one in Fort Lauderdale. I'm like, really? Yeah, in the past 20 years, this airport built up. Now it's huge. But really, that's the whole story about Florida. You're right. Pre-air conditioning, Florida has just exploded, you know, in the past, even really just half a century, based on advancements in environment.
Big hotels on the beach used to close down.
Yeah, it's too hot.
They used to close down. The very wealthy used to have houses in the water. They would close down. In the summer, they were all closed down.
Wow.
Yeah. Have you ever been to Vizcaya? It's like all open for ventilation. They left in the summertime. They didn't stay there.
Some people still leave in the summertime, but yeah. So, I found a defense for Moshe's position, as well as an answer to this, perhaps, his contradiction. What's worse, extreme cold or extreme heat? So this I found quoted from the Or LeZion, which is Rabbi Zion Abashol, a Rosh Hashiva of Yeshiva Parat Yosef in Yerushalayim. And he says the following distinction, beautiful distinction. Really, in terms of sickness, there's one thing only. Hakol choli eitzah hakor. Cold weather is what makes people sick. What does the Gemara mean then? And that's why Moshe would only give his heter to turn on the heat, turn off the AC, but not to turn on the AC. Cold weather is worse in terms of sickness. The Yerushalmi says one should daven more to be safe from heat than from cold. So these people in Florida might be able to relate to. Heat might be more annoying. It's a certain savlonis, dealing with, being patient with, accepting the heat. People don't like to sweat. People feel very uncomfortable when their body is covered in sweat. There's a certain uncomfortability with it. That doesn't mean you're more sick. Right? Most times you're not getting heat stroke. But it's uncomfortable. So that's what, I believe, Rebbe told Antinous, that, look, you should be mispalel more to save you from that heat, because it's going to bother you more. But it doesn't mean that health-wise it has more adverse effects. So that's why Reb Moshe would stick to his guns and say, no pun intended, right? Reb Moshe would say that you do have a big distinction between cold and heat. As opposed to the Minchas Yitzchak and others, they say, no, heat could be worse, and it applies even for sickness. Perhaps he would even say this uncomfortability itself might be more bothersome for a person, and maybe you have a right to take steps to shield you from that. Definitely this is something to consider when we get back. That's why maybe in Hilchos Shabbos here we have a chiluk, because we're judging holy. Right? I want to answer with this akasha that I had when I was going through this. Is I'm setting up right now in Reb Moshe, there's a difference in Hilchos Shabbos between cold and heat. We mentioned before in Hilchos Sukkah, they're basically the same. There might be a big difference. In Hilchos Shabbos, we're judging what could I do on Shabbos for my health. A person, Chas V'Shalom, could get sick. So there's a distinction. Cold might be worse than heat. But when we're talking about the Hilchos Sukkah, they were talking about mitzayer, being uncomfortable. Bugs flying around you, we're not talking about you getting bit by the bugs and Chas V'Shalom having a reaction to them. It's an annoyance. It's a tsar. You're being pained by it. So when we talk about the pain, the uncomfortability of heat, then heat might be just as bad, if not worse, than cold. And that's why we can have such a distinction.
Can you just start learning Shabbos?
Yeah. All these things. But we wouldn't necessarily, just if it wasn't a sickness issue, we wouldn't just say, so onik Shabbos, you know, turn on an AC. Not so simple. Right? Onik Shabbos might be, you know, you could be yotzi onik Shabbos with your cholent. You know, lav davka, you know, we matter everything for owning Shabbos. To be honest, some posts can even say that if you know, your heat, your cooking things go down, you can't have hot food on Shabbos. There's no heter for owning, you know, to do anything for that either. Just for the record. Okay, so that's, I believe, a beautiful contrast of some areas in halacha, heat and cold could be the same. Some areas in halacha, they could be different. What about, let's get to the Shalom Bayis issues. What about temperature in a room? Right, this is something people fight about, as mentioned before. So there's a famous idea brought down from Rabbi Saul Solanta. Before I get to Rabbi Saul Solanta, I'll quickly quote. I researched this topic. I saw a few modern day poskim talk about it. Most of them miss this Rabbi Saul Solanta. Most of them quote Halacha is a Shulchan Aruch, basic halacha shchenim. If a neighbor is doing something which is bothersome to you, something which on is called a big hezek, then that you can't take, you have a right to object against that. Now, poskim will write at the same time, if it's something that should be expected, if it's something that, hey, you know, one example is, could a neighbor complain about a baby crying? I can't leave next to you, your baby always cries. You know, this is life. I don't know, they maybe kick people off the planes for babies crying, body odor, I don't know what. But halakhically, this is, when you buy a house, when you live next to somebody, there are normal noises. Okay, they're extreme. You know, having a party at 1 o'clock in the morning is crazy. But the basic issues in life, a baby crying, being a little too cold, a little too hot, things you have to deal with. And you can't say, oh, I'm bothered by that, that's something, necessarily. However, Rabbi Saul Solanter put down the following rule. If it's the winter time and somebody wants to open the window, if it's the winter time and someone wants to open up the window, it's not allowed. If it's the summertime and one wants to shut the AC, one wants to shut the window, then one can't. Huh? If one wants to shut the windows and make it warmer. It all goes up based on the season. And Rabbi Sol Salanter brings a very interesting proof. If you look in the back of your sheets, Sol Salanter says, a proof that I have to this is the Mishnah in Peah, which you would think has not, doesn't have anything to do with anything. But Rabbi Sol Salanter was like on the Gedolei Hador and had an ability of pulling out halachas, even halachas about Bein Amo Chavero, from Gemaras and ideas. He brings there HaPeah. Right, we know one of the things in Eretz Yisrael, who owns a field, one has to leave peah, corner of his field, for aniyim. So that's nitna b'mechubar l'karka. That's given even when with the stuff attached, and the ani will come with his sickle and chop it off and get it. Peah is given while the grain is attached. B'dalos of a dekel, with these tall trees, a tall palm tree, Baal Bayis Morid Mechalik L'Aniyim. There the halacha is the Baal Bayis should bring down the fruit and give it to the Aniyim. What's the reasoning behind this? So two pshatim. So one pshat in the Mishnah that's based on psukim, the Din D'Oraisa, chilk between these different scenarios. But the others say it's more practical, it's the Din D'Rabbanan. And the problem is, you know, when you're giving out something free, especially to Jews, right? Ever see a kiddush? So people are called the on gavar, who's ever quicker gets. So we're afraid, the Chazal are afraid, if there's fruit up there on a palm tree, if people are racing each other up the tree, and the Chas Hashem might fall down, that could bring to sakana. So therefore, if it's on the ground, let them fight it out. Go for it. But if it's up there, up on a tree, we're afraid of people really getting hurt. So there we say, we'll bring it down first, let the Baal Bayis go and divvy it up. Now, the Mishnah says at the end, last two lines of the Mishnah, Afil tish of the tishim omrim l'chalik, v'echom lovas. Let's say, he's talking about the first halach, let's say in a regular field. Let's say most of the aniyim say, you know, let Bezin divide it. And one guy says, no, I want to do it the regular way. I just let the quickest man win. L'zeh shomen, listen to the one guy who says to keep it the regular way. Shomer kalacha, because he's saying the normal halacha. And seemingly the Mishnah's din will apply in the second case too. If 99 people say, let us climb up the tree and let the best man win, and one guy says, no, let's keep it the way the rabbi said, that the Baal Bayis should take it down and divvy it up, if he's saying what the normative halacha is, we listen to that one guy over the 99 guys. Zakhtar Rabbi Sol Salanter. So that this is the answer to all the Shalom Bayis questions, to all the fights in the dorm. If it's the winter time, you could have most of the dorm, most of the people in the house want a window open. But one guy says it's the winter, let's keep it closed. Halacha is, you listen to the one guy over the 99. Because in the winter time, that's the default setting. You shut the window. And so to the reverse, if it's the summertime, it's hot, even if most people want the window closed, but this guy wants it open, so to the reverse, it depends on the season. And you listen to one person over 99.
The radiators break in the winter and they make the room 120 degrees.
You should get your radiator fixed, I agree.
It happens very common. The old northern radiators, those can crank out the gear like Schmitz.
They never stop. Oh, yeah.
But that
I'll tell you the honest truth. I walked into my hotel room in Toronto, and the heat was on. You know the first thing I did?
Open the window.
I opened the window. I didn't care. I don't like heat. I opened it up. But if I was in the room with somebody else, it's because I was there by myself. Then we got into fights. And he would win. Now, I found a fascinating thing.
By the way, Rabbi,
hold on 1 second.
45 degrees below this morning in Chicago.
Oh, wow.
Wind chill. 45 below.
Now, please send all your friends to Chicago this year.
I know.
I found Rav Chaim Kanievsky has a sefer, which is not well known, that he himself wrote, not one of these like fifth-hand versions. He has a sefer, Shari Amuna, a Mishnayis Peah. He brings on this Mishnah, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, and his proof from this Mishnah. But Rav Chaim Kanievsky argues with him. And he says, hey, there's no raya from this Mishnah and Peah. Chaim Kanievsky says, you know what? You always go with the majority. There's no such thing. Well, there's one guy in the winter who wants the window shut. We listen to one guy over everyone else. Not true. Chaim says, and I'll show you in a moment, he wants to bring a proof to this. We always follow the majority. Doesn't go with the seasons. He says, your B'Sol Salanta thought he had a proof from this Mishnah. No such proof. He said, this Mishnah is dealing with a case where there is a default halacha. The default halacha is that in a field, you leave the stuff even attached, and the ani comes, the poor person comes, and cuts it and takes it. But up on a tree, there the halacha is that we take it down first. So there's a default halacha. So there, okay, even if 99% go the other way, you follow the default. He says here, who says there's such a thing called a default halacha of winter time is cold in this? No such thing. And therefore, he says, it's logical, you just follow the roof. You follow the majority opinion. And Reb Chaim Kanievsky wants to bring a proof. Interesting halacha in Hilchas Tefillah, Siman Nun Gimel, Shulchan Aruch talks about selecting a chazan for a shul. How do you go about selecting a chazan? Different people have different feelings about it. Oh. You think there are fights about hot and cold? You ever hear the fights and shoals about whether you like this guy's davening or not? Who gets a say in the matter? Now, I should give you the final halacha. Mr. Brewer brings down, there's an idea of a board, Zayin Tuve Yair, that there is such a thing that, you know, it pays to be involved in a shoal and on a board, you have a say. And the board can make these decisions, and not necessarily everything is up to popular vote. Okay, solves a lot of problems, right? It's to be known in yeshiva that it works that way too, by the way. But the Mishnah Berurah writes, so it talks about individuals protesting against the choice of the popular position, and the Mishnah Berurah brings down an idea in the first few lines of what I call the Nunnik Svara. Is when we talk about the opinion of one person versus everybody else. Nowadays, you have somebody, everyone's going one way. He dafka wants to fight back the other way. That's what we call a Nunnik. It's not that he truly believes his position, but, you know, look, you're going this way, I'll argue the other side. Mamash brings us down. So a Nunnik is worthless.
We have plenty of missions where there's one.
Hold on. I can't take any nunniks. 1 second.
No, but we do have many mishnas where it's held by one person and all the chazal are wrong.
Those people are nunniks. Hold on.
That's not a nunnik situation.
We'll get to there. Hold on.
That's halacha.
So this.
If he's right.
Rav Chaim Kanievsky wants to bring this as a proof. Look, if everybody wants the window open. There's one guy who wants it closed. Come on, nowadays, who knows the guy's intentions? Could just be he's being a nunnik, and we could ignore it. Now you're right. You know, in halacha, you know, we don't assume every rav who takes individual.
We're not calling Rabbi Yehoshua nunnik in the Mishnah.
Right, right.
He's right, they're all wrong.
Right. But we're talking about a public discussion where one guy wants his agenda, and you know, this. So the Mishnah Berurah brings down, there's room to ignore such a thing. So Chaim wants to bring this over here too. Now firstly, to defend Rabbi Sol Salanter, Sol Salanter is not talking about a nunnik, I assume. And this case is not necessarily a proof. Right? We're talking about somebody who legitimately it wants the window closed because it's the winter time and everybody else wants it open. But he wants it closed because he's afraid he's going to get sick. You're right. If he really is a nunnik and doesn't mean to do that, you know, doesn't really sincerely want it closed, that's different. But even on the first step, sounds like Rabbi Sol Salanter is learning. Why is the halacha, specifically let's talk in the second case, why is the halacha that if 99 people want the window, or excuse me, let's go to the case in Mishnayos Peah. If 99 people say, you know what, we're willing to climb up the tree and get down the fruits. And there's one guy who says, no, no, let's do it the way that the rabbi's prescribed, the Baal Bayis getting it down, because I'm afraid I might fall. When it comes to sakana, the one person beats out the 99. I'm afraid you don't vaccinate. I'm afraid there's some issue here. I'm going to get sick. If you're on the side of sakana, there could be 99 people against you. Zakhtar Bishol Salanter, we have to be very careful about that. That, I believe, is Bishol Salanter's point. It's a very strong point. We always have to, when it comes to temperature, we have to make sure, how's it showing, people don't get sick. And we saw Salanter, I found, I didn't find this exact psak brought down, other than Chaim Kanievsky quoting it, but I did find that we saw Salanter was quite careful when it came to cold weather. I found two stories. One story about him being nervous of them opening a window by the Shlech Tzibur. Anybody else involved davening, you open a window, you go, shut it. Shlech Tzibur is busy doing his job, davening as the chazan leading the congregation. He can't just go in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei, go and shut the window. So he was very careful when he shouldn't do that. He was even, this is a little funny, Rabbi Sol Salanter was nervous of the wind, of some guy shuckling too much next to somebody else. Sol Salanter says, you know, Sol Salanter was very big into your own personal chumras should not have an adverse effect on somebody else. So you're going blowing the wind, right, with your Shemona Esrei, and some people could. Sol Salanter says, you've got to be careful of the guy next to you, especially in a windy city. Just to conclude, so we see today in Halacha that there are some similarities between hot weather and cold weather. Both extremes, Helchas Sukkah, they both could be Metzayer. Helchas Shabbos, we saw differences. There could be major differences in terms of health. If it's a shail of Sakana, Rav Moshe would say there's a big difference. Hakol Chol Eitz HaKor, when it comes to cold weather versus hot weather, it could be hot weather, like the Yerushalmi says, is more of an annoyance and bothers people more. It could be maybe even more Metzayer on that, on Sukkahs. For that case, there's a difference. And when it comes to temperatures, so you have to know the season. You have to know where's the starting point. Let's tell one interesting story. You know, people, we get tons and tons of guests over here in Florida in the winter. People leave the Northeast to come here in Florida to warm up for a few days. As we said before, that may not work so well. Because the body, when you get used to hot weather, makes it so much harder to get the cold weather back then. My father said the best place people in New York should go is Ottawa in the winter. Because if you go to a place which is colder and you stay there, your body really adjusts to that, you could spend the rest of the winter in New York, maybe even Chicago, and it's nice and warm. I hope, wish everyone a warm week, a wonderful week, and thank you very much for coming.